Yesterday, we have talked about hindrances, five hindrances. Can you repeat for me these five? Okay. So we have talked about the first one, sensual desire. So sensual desire about what? You have desire about sensual object. So what is the sensual object we often long for? In Buddha's teaching, there are only six sensual objects. Eye, ear is not sensual object. It's the sensual organ. What is the eye object? Visible object. Especially... because we are living in this sensual world. So, for visible object, the longing for opposite sex is very strong. Women long for men long for women, long for the visible object, especially the opposite sex. So, this is one type of sensual object. Second, sound, the sweet words, the sweet words from the opposite sex, or any sweet words that please the ear, okay? Musics, songs, and so on. The third one, fragrance, smell. This one is not so strong in human beings. The next one, taste. That is very strong because Buddha says, "Sabbe satta ahara titika." All beings stand upon the food. When your stomach is well fed, then all the desire for other senses become very strong. Therefore, we take it precepts to cut down some of the sensual desire. If you are fed, if we feed you three meals or four meals, no one can meditate well. Because not only stomach full cause drowsiness, but you start long for other sensual object. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why we come for retreat, we take it precepts. Because when you feel hungry, you are not well fed with the food, the sensual desire for other object also become less. Okay? Then the fifth one, bodily touch, tangible object. This is also very strong in human beings. For example, the touch with opposite sex, the touch with your son, and the touch with the pet. Some people like to touch the pet, and so on. So this sensual touch is strong refinement in human beings. And the last one, mental object. Mental object can be very strong for those who like to daydreaming. Some people, they like to dream, daydreaming. What you cannot fulfill in this pleasant life, you can fulfill during daydreaming, which is very pleasant sometimes. So this is also one type of sensual object. Although it's not sensually, but mentally. Okay, so when all these sensual objects, the longing for it, the sensual desire, the desire for this objects arise in the mind, what should you do? I want to repeat a little bit. Because the Dhamma teaching, the teaching of the Dhamma is, we have to repeat it frequently so that it stick in your mind. So what will you do? What should you do when any desire for sensual object arise in you? The first step, mindfulness. Okay, what is mindfulness? Only awareness is not enough. Pure awareness without any reaction. Or we call non-reactive type of awareness. Let's say if sensual desire for me, for food arise in me, then if I aware and quickly go and eat, this is not awareness anymore because you act upon your desire, right? But for mindfulness, there's We call it non-reactive type of awareness. You know the desire has arisen in your mind, but you do not react to it. You develop a type of calm and detached type of observation. Although it can be very strong, but your observing mind must be calm and detached. We are talking about this type of awareness, mindfulness, sati, or non-reactive and equanimous awareness. Okay, so please understand correctly the meaning of sati, mindfulness. Because mindfulness now is very popular all over the world, especially in the West. They conduct a big conference talking about mindfulness, no wisdom. Only mindfulness. Mindfulness is now become so popular all over the world. But I would like to remind you, mindfulness is not the main teaching of the Buddha. The main teaching of the Buddha is wisdom. Sila, samadhi, panya. But without mindfulness, there's no wisdom. Mindfulness is the basic, but you only stop at the point of mindfulness. That is never enough. Okay? So in dealing with these five hindrances, first we arouse our mindfulness, know the desire for the sensual object, either for visible object or basic sex, or for taste, or for touch, or for mental object, or for restlessness, or for thinking. When this arouse your mindfulness, know it, and yet without react to it. So you hold your mindfulness, all your mindfulness, observe it with detached manner. When you hold your mindfulness with detached manner, sometimes before you can contemplate passing away or vanishing, that state of sensual desire will go away. But if you hold your mindfulness, observe it with detached manner, and yet that state of desire remain there. It does not vanish or it does not pass away. Then you further apply wisdom, or you pay wise attention, direct your mind to see it vanishing. So you direct your mind and tell, mentally say, vanishing, vanishing, or impermanent, impermanent, passing away, passing away. When you direct your mind to see it's vanishing, then quickly you will see it's vanishing. And when it passes away, then Buddha said, he knows there's no sensual desire in me. So when this sensual desire passes away, then he knows there's no more sensual desire in me. Yesterday, I have mentioned, if that sensual desire passes away and yet you do not know, it means that you have no mindfulness. Secondly, you will remain think that sensual desire is permanent because you do not recognize that it has gone. So when you recognize that it has gone, it enhances your perception of impermanence, which is very important in the path to liberation. Okay? So when it arises, you know. When it passes away, you also must know. Know it has gone, then mentally note impermanent, impermanent, or gone, gone. Okay. Then the next step, Buddha say, and they also know how there comes to be the arising of an arisen sensual desire. This, knowing the condition for the arising of sensual desire. As we say, sensual desire is not yourself. It's just a conditioned dharma. All conditioned dharma arises. All conditioned dharma arise due to causes, due to conditions. So as a practitioner, we must know the conditions for its arising. So as a practitioner, we not only cultivate mindfulness. No, no, no. Not enough. You must also investigate what are the conditions causing the arising of that sensual desires. If you can clearly recognize the condition for the arising of sensual desire, it leads to acknowledgement of general pattern of its arising. Let's say a man always, whenever his eyes come to contact with beautiful woman, then sensual desire arises in him. So every time his eye come to contact with beautiful woman, sensual desire arises in him. Sometimes mindfulness cannot be so strong. You cannot arouse your mindfulness all the time, right? So at this time, you should investigate what is the condition. Why every time when my eye come to contact with beautiful woman, the sensual desire arises in me? You've got to investigate yourself. Therefore, if you can recognize, you can recognize the condition for arising of sensual desire, then you will know. Because you will know that you will know the general, the same pattern of its arising. Once you know it's the same pattern or general pattern of its arising, then you can cure it. You can remove that general pattern. So why? Why when a man's eye come to contact with beautiful woman, that every time the sensual desire arises in him? I think we have to ask men. Why? My nature. Very honest answer. I think my nature, yes. Therefore they are men, right? First is by nature, because by nature means that the men have latent tendency of desire for opposite sex. This is called by nature, because all men, unless you are anagami, you have this latent desire for sensual desire for opposite sex. This is called by nature. But second, if we also can overcome it, right? If by nature, then nobody can become bhikkhu already. So we can overcome it, right? So there's the condition is, one is because by nature, because we have a latent tendency. There's another reason, because we always pay attention to the beauty of that object. We always have the perception of beauty of that woman. This object is very beautiful, very pleasant. So if I can get it, it will be great. Right? So this way of perceiving things that cause the arising of sensual desire. The tendency, latent tendency, we cannot change. Right? We cannot do unless we become anagami. But to change our perception, to perceive it, we can change our perception. Instead of perceive it as beautiful, we can perceive it as not beautiful, repulsive. Therefore, in the teaching of the Buddha, we have two types of meditation that helps to remove the perception of beauty in opposite sex. One is 32 parts of the body. You analyze the body from top of the head down to the last part, urine. Head hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin, flesh, and all the organ inside. And all the like saliva, all the watery things. Saliva, pus, urine, phlegm, bile, and so on. So you analyze one by one the impure part of the body, then it helps to remove the perception of beauty in opposite sex. Let's say you take the beautiful woman, then you don't see her face, then you analyze his head hair, body hair, his heart, his urine, his feces, his stomach, content of stomach, then his saliva, and his and her snout, and so on. One by one, when you analyze in this way, then the perception of beauty will be removed, and the perception of repulsiveness will become clear in your mind. Then you lose your sensual desire for her. Same, if you have sensual desire for men, also you do the same thing. Therefore, you must recognize the condition. The condition for the arising of the sensual desire, because you constantly pay attention to beauty, beautiful, pleasant, happiness, and so on. So you have to change your perception. Don't perceive it as beautiful. Don't perceive it as pleasant. Perceive it as repulsiveness, as ugly, and so on. Okay? There's one Thai monk, when one day he was taking his bath in a river, and there came a boat. On the boat, there was a beautiful woman. When the very moment this monk's eye come to contact with this beautiful woman, he said that, "I fall in love with her." Only first contact, eye contact. After that, his mind keep on longing for her. He cannot sleep, cannot meditate. The whole day, whole night, he longed for this woman. So finally, he got to practice very hard to remove the image of this woman, but not successful. Even the whole night, he don't want to sleep, he don't want to lie on the bed. Because when you lie on the bed, more lustful thoughts. So he don't want to lie on the bed, only walking, sitting throughout the night for many days. Still cannot overcome his lust. What a miserable state. So finally he's fasting, because food can fit your craving. More. If you have full stomach, your craving become more. So he fast. Only drink water. Still cannot overcome his lust. Finally, then he tried this. He tried to see this beautiful woman. His decaying corpse. Imagine she has death. Then his corpse start to decay. First bloated. Then the pus, or the, how to call, maggot come out from her decaying body. And finally, all the body become rotten and become rotten, and all the jackals, vulture, and the dog come and eat her dead body. So when he visualized in this state, as well as his own decaying body, internal, external, then finally he overcome his lust for many days. So this one way, but this way is for monks, usually for monks. Therefore, what I quote this example is to tell you, when you pay attention to the beauty of the object, it easily arouses your lust. So you have to replace your perception of beauty to perception of repulsiveness. Okay? Okay. Then another way to overcome the arising of sensual desire is restraint of your senses. This is so important for monks and nuns, maybe not for layperson. Restraint of your senses means that you don't simply get loose your eyes. You control your eyes not to look here and there by way of concentrating on your breath. If you can concentrate on your breath, not looking here and there, then defilement will not enter into your mind so easily. Because you do not restrain your senses. You want to see, you see. You want to hear, you hear. You want to eat, you eat. You want to touch, you touch. So you let loose your senses. Therefore, sensual desire easily arise in you. So you got to practice restraint of senses by concentrating on one certain object throughout the day. especially during the retreat. And another antidote to overcome the sensual desire is moderate in eating. Eat less. And the last one, when the sensual desire arises in you, contemplate impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Don't grasp it as I mind myself. Okay, so that much enough to deal with sensual desire. Next hindrance is ill will or anger. Anger is a strong hindrance in most people. So Buddha said, there being ill will or anger in him, a bhikkhu understand there is ill will in him. So when ill will or anger arise in you, first step, what is that? Arouse your mindfulness. Arouse your mindfulness. Know the anger has arisen in you. What is the meaning of mindfulness? Non-reactive and equanimous awareness. Non-reactive and equanimous awareness. This is called mindfulness. If you know anger has arisen in me and you become more and more angry, no, this is not mindfulness. Your mind must be equanimous. So once you arouse the awareness, take that anger as object of your observation. Just like you observe your breath, now change object. Breath is kaya nupasana satipatthana. But now you observe anger, it becomes citta nupasana satipatthana. Or it becomes dhamma nupasana satipatthana. So you shift your attention on breath to anger. You become contemplation of the mind. Or it become contemplation of the dhamma. Because five hindrances is contemplation of dhamma. So awareness. Non-reactive and equanimous awareness, aware that anger has arisen in you. Take the anger as your object. Understand? Then, once you're aware of the arising of anger, what's the next step? What's the next step? Yes, good. Contemplate impermanent. Contemplate the impermanent of that anger. Or vanishing, vanishing, passing away, passing away. Or Chinese called 灭去. 消灭了,失去,灭去了,无常等等. Okay, so when you pay attention to impermanent, that state of the mind will not last in your mind. Will not continue in your mind. Okay. When it passes away, when the anger passes away, you also must know. Not only know it's arising, you also must know it's passing away. If you do not know it's passing away, you may think it is permanent. You may think it's remain there. No, it has gone. So when you know it's arising, when you know it's passing away, you understand impermanence. Okay? Then the next one, you must know the condition for the arising of the ill will. Just now I mentioned, we know the condition for the arising of sensual desire because we pay attention to the beautiful. Right? Now, why the anger arises? Usually we pay attention to the repulsive, unpleasant, because we think it's unpleasant, very repulsive. Therefore, anger arises in us. Just opposite with the sensual desire. For example, this person it annoys you very much. So every time when you see this person, you pay attention to his annoyance. Every time you see him, this annoying is very annoying. So every time you pay attention to his annoyance, then anger arises in you. So to remove this paying attention of the annoyance of this person, we have to try to see his or her good qualities instead of bad qualities. Everybody has good and bad qualities, right? And if you know by seeing his bad quality cause anger to arise in you, then we have to change our mind. Forget his bad quality, think of his good qualities. Although it's very difficult to do, but we have to train our mind in this way. Okay? Or another way is to cultivate loving-kindness meditation. Cultivate loving-kindness meditation, but this is also not easy. If you don't like this person and yet you want to wish him well and happy, I think not very easy for most people. I remember I instructed one of my students, and he is a Sri Lankan. Then when he tried to radiate loving kindness to his enemy, and he reported to me. When I say, may he be well and happy, he said that I have desire to slap him. So happiness become anger. Loving kindness become anger. Therefore, it's not so easy. If you don't have mastery of the mind, or mastery of loving kindness meditation, you just want to send loving kindness to your enemy immediately without mastering of it first. It's not easy. Unless you practice loving kindness all the times. Okay, so and if you cannot overcome that anger, the last another way is don't pay attention to it. Ignore that. Ignore the things or the person who always annoy you. Don't always think of her or think of that things that annoy you. Sometimes we human beings are very strange. You already know that person annoy you very much, and yet you always want to think of her or him. That give you more annoyance, right? It's a human mind. It's called untrained mind. It's very strange. Okay, that much for overcoming the ill will. The next one, I try to finish it today if I can. The sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor means drowsiness or sleepiness. As a smart practitioner, I have shared with you how to deal with sloth and torpor, right? First, when it arises, the mindfulness must be keen and sharp immediately. Know it. How you know it? How you know your mind is obsessed by sloth and torpor? The moment your mindfulness becomes unclear, the moment, let's say, when you are practicing anapanasati, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, then you feel that the mind already leaves the breath. The mind leaves the breath and become unclear, not restless. Not restless. Become unclear, like you cannot grasp the object. At that time, you must know there is sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor starts to creep in. If you can know at this stage, then you quickly shift your attention to see that unclear mind. Awareness. Shift your attention to quickly see this unclear mind, which is sloth and torpor, then see it, observe it. Immediately, the unclear mind will immediately become clear. If you can do this, if you can do what I share with you, then you are a smart practitioner. You have keen mindfulness. Your mind is always clear. Only when your mind is clear, you know your mind is not clear. Right? If your mind is not clear, you don't even know your mind is not clear. Therefore, if you can follow what I say, it means that your mind is very clear. Because the moment your mind leaves the breath, it becomes unclear, you know already. It means that your mind is clear. Otherwise, you do not know. So you shift to note or to contemplate that unclear mind, immediately it becomes clear. So if you can master this technique, slow and dobber, never your hindrance. But never become your hindrances. But if you cannot, because you don't have clarity of the mind, you cannot, your mindfulness is not so sharp, then the second, what should you do? You should open your eyes. Open your eyes. You can count your breath with open eyes, no problem. Open your eye, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Or you can, if still you fail, you can recollect some Dharma, some teaching of the Buddha that inspired you, that gladdened your heart, that makes you happy. Therefore, you must find some stanza or some teaching of the Buddha. Whenever you think of it, your mind feels happy. Your mind, you feel joyful. Always remember that. So whenever you feel sleepy, cannot overcome by observing the sleepiness, then you reflect that, the teaching of the Buddha that gladdened your heart. When you become sleepy because your mind is in boredom state, you feel boring. So you need to gladden your heart, make your mind happy by reflecting some inspired teaching of the Buddha. If this still fails, you should stand up. Do standing meditation with open eyes, then concentrate on your breath. Or if you are alone, not in the meditation hall, if you are alone, then you should breathe very loud. Don't do it in meditation hall, otherwise everybody complain you. Okay? Breathe very loud. Breathing in, breathing out very loud. Then you take in more oxygen, especially breathing in. Take in more oxygen that can make your mind clearer. This few steps, I think, should be enough. If you use this few steps and yet still feel sleepy, go out and walk. If walking also feels sleepy, go back and sleep. Go back and sleep. Sleep until you feel satisfied. Only you get up. I think because of bodily fatigue, bodily tiredness, you need to sleep. So don't worry, I will not wake you up, okay? But don't take it as excuse. After I come into the meditation hall, nobody here, everybody go to sleep. Okay. Okay, so what is the condition for the arising of slow and torpor? You must know the conditions. First is overeating. Second, not enough sleep at night. Sometimes you feel not enough sleep and bodily fatigue. Not necessarily not enough sleep. Sometimes in a retreat, 6 hours should be enough. But because you worry that usually I sleep 8 hours. Now I sleep 6 hours. No, not enough sleep. So if you think you're not enough sleep, then you want to go and sleep. And then automatically your mind becomes sleepy. So this is called mind make. So when you come to retreat, if you can sleep 6 hours in a day, tell yourself, enough. Go back home, I sleep 10 hours. But for this retreat, 6 hours should be enough. 6 to 7 should be enough. 8 hours too much. Because you have concentration, you have mindfulness, don't need so much sleep. Sleep is dullness of the mind. Dullness. Your mind is dull. Not helpful. Okay? So, what's the condition? First, overeating. Second, the tiredness of the body. Then, third, not interesting on the breath. Sometimes when the breath becomes too subtle, you cannot grasp it. No more object. Then you become very sleepy. Or you yourself not interested on the breath. Not everybody interested on the breath. Because anapana may not suitable for everyone. If you're not interested in this anapana, try another object. Don't force yourself to stick to anapana. Okay? So these are general arising. So you should avoid this condition for the arising of sloth and torpor. Okay? The next one, restlessness. Among all the hindrances, restlessness is the greatest enemy. Only Arahant know restlessness. So restlessness is always there. We have to, therefore we practice concentration to tame the mind, to calm down the restless mind. Because the restless make the mind very agitated, think this and that, and make the mind very tired, cannot function well. So the practice of samatha is to directly overcome this restlessness. When the mind comes to still, then you can see clearly the phenomena that happen in the body and mind. Okay. So when restless arise in mind, what should you do? So today is the third day, right? So since today is the third day, we don't have to always stick to anapana, right? First 3 days anapana enough. Today, third day. So but anyhow, we start with anapana, breathing in, breathing out. But when restless arise in us, we cannot overcome by counting. Then you pay attention to the restlessness. Know it. Oh, my restless. Or wandering. Just know one word. Oh, my is wandering. Then come back to the breath. Or you just look at that wandering thought directly. But this is only for advanced yogi. If you're a beginner, you look at the wandering thought directly, then you carry away by the thoughts. Go 10 minutes later, only know. So this is not for beginners. You must train yourself, know it, coming back. But if you want to try to look at the wandering thoughts, please make sure don't go into content. It's the content that attracts you. Don't go into content. What is this wandering thought? What is inside the thought? Planning, imagining, or visualization. Oh, don't go into content. Once you go into content, the mind becomes restless. Okay? If your mindfulness is sharp, the moment it arises, you know it is stopped. Please try to see. The moment it knows, you know the wandering thought, it should stop already. Why? Because the moment you're aware of it, you have mindfulness, right? Mindfulness is wholesome mental state. Restless is unwholesome mental state. How can unwholesome mental state and wholesome state coexist? Not possible. So once you have mindfulness about the restless, it stops already. But maybe it arises again. But your mindfulness is too slow to tackle it. Therefore, you think the thought still continue. Okay? If you can train your mind to be able to aware all this restless mind, then you will come to a conclusion. All this restless are illusion. Illusion, not real one. However, if we do not cultivate this mindfulness and wisdom to see all this restlessness or wandering thought as illusion, very often we will be cheated by the thoughts. We think it's real. When we think it's real, we follow it. When we follow it, then we are cheated by it. I hope you can realize this state one day, that whatever thought arises, know it's elusive nature. Know it's elusive nature, not real one. But if you trust it, you believe in it, it becomes real. When it becomes real, it becomes yours, become mine. And when it becomes mine, and you want to follow after it. This is how the circle of samsara starts. Okay, the last hindrances. It's doubt. Doubt. For Asian people, doubt is not a big hindrance. But for Western people, doubt is the greatest hindrance. Because Asian people are faith temperament. Asian people have strong faith in what teachers say. Due to our culture, right? Due to our education, our culture. But in Western country, they ask the student to doubt everything. Don't believe everything what others say. So because of different culture, so they always doubtful. And doubt become their greatest hindrance. Same, if doubt arises in you, know. First, know it. And to solve it, you got to consult a competent teacher to solve the doubt in your heart. This is the best way to overcome the doubt. Ask a competent teacher and discuss with it, with her or him. So, as a conclusion, whatever hindrances that arise in you, you must first arouse your mindfulness to know it. Secondly, contemplate impermanent or vanishing or passing away. Thirdly, know the condition for the arising of each sensual, for each hindrance. Then once you know the conditions, then next time you tackle that condition. A change of mind, change of perception. Then this will, if you change your perception, that sensual desire or ill will may not arise so often as before. Okay, that's enough for today.